motion to approve the minutes of our March meeting?
So moved.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Our minutes are approved. I see Dr. Rice is here, ready to give us a report as Chief of Staff.
So, we've had a few things that we've talked about as a staff recently. Yesterday, we had Wyoming Medical Center here to visit. They sent their trauma coordinator, their stroke coordinator, their interim chief medical officer. There's another lady in that. She's some sort of other patient coordinator. There was a handful anyway. Just to kind of help us iron out how we can still use their facility for transfers and things. We've had a lot of bumps in the road since they transitioned to new ownership. And so kind of talked through some new things. And, they have high hopes of them improving some of that communication and helping us facilitate those transfers when we need them. So that was a good discussion I felt like yesterday at lunch. We've also had some discussion as a med staff. You know, this year we've transitioned our hospitalist service to 7-day shifts, and we did that because we think it offers better care. It's more continuity for the patients when they're in the hospital to have one doctor for 7 days, and I think that makes really good sense. But we're still kind of ironing out how that works for us between hospital and clinic and just some things like that, as well as communication when we change from one of us to the next. With the nurses and pharmacy and things like that. So we're just trying to kind of figure out how we can do that better and continue to work on that. We're starting to feel a little more of the construction, you know, for us in the clinic. The construction in the hospital has been kind of a long ways away from us, so we haven't felt that so much, but now as it's getting closer in the clinic, we're definitely seeing some of that. Dr. Ruby had to move offices and some of his exam rooms, and everybody's been really good about sharing and trying to sort through some of that, but we definitely can see that that's coming, and we'll have to work real closely with Miranda and the construction crew so that we kind of know who needs to move next and how to get ready for that. So, that's about it.
Any questions for Dr. Rice? Well, what was your take on the status of the Wyoming Medical Center under leadership from Banner Health?
I think it's interesting. I think that I can see that the staff that they sent definitely feels like they have good support from Banner Health, and they're all actually somewhat excited about that. But I think we still are a little reserved just because I think we've felt the bumps since that transition has happened with a lot of locums staff that has been at Wyoming Medical Center and just some difficulties, like I said, transferring. But I do appreciate, I felt like they were very open to hearing our feedback. I mean, they really gave us an opportunity to kind of, they were kind of thrown to the wolves when I first got here yesterday, and I felt like they took that feedback pretty well. So.
Yeah, we've worked with them a long time, and that's an important part of the health system for people in Johnson County, and you want to see that be a strong program and something you have faith in.
And like I said, I felt like they took feedback well from the docs as well as the nurses. Mary was able to explain some of just kind of the lack of respect that she's experienced with transfers and the nurse, and that, you know, they're not always wanting to hear our reports and information. And same thing, like I said, from the docs, we've had a lot of difficulties getting people there and getting them to accept. And some of that is they've lost a lot of their regular staff that's been there forever, and there was a lot of discussion about the new people that are maybe just interim docs in some of those specialty fields don't understand, like, the geography of Wyoming, and, you know, when Buffalo calls, this is a small rural facility, it really can't offer these services. When they tell you they need to transfer this patient, they need to transfer this patient, as well as just the difficulties with transfers themselves from weather and travel. like they at least listened to some of that. Well, I think time will tell how that really translates into real practice.
Thank you. Well, Miranda, let's let you start with the update on the clinic situation.
You bet. I really don't have much to add from the report. Our crisis centers, we started to fill some of the heat of the constructions last week with additional noise. They were supposed to bring in a new barrier and then completely block off two of our exam rooms and then one of the provider offices, which is not really, but hasn't quite happened yet. Exam rooms are out of commission in that office, but the barrier hasn't been put up yet, which we'll work through the flow of that. We've helped maybe with the construction crew that we needed some additional space to work through that. So it's workable.
So I saw some information from the medical staff week about modifications to the same day clinic. Is that anything suitable for this audience?
Sure, I would be happy to share that. So some of the verbiage in the past that's been utilized is, if you have an acute schedule that's full, is encouraging patients to call back first thing the next day at 8 a.m. to get on the schedule. We're trying to get away from that verbiage. Somebody calls, we're going to try to find a spot for them immediately. Within the next hour, sometime that day. Also, patients that are calling that day but are working, but they know that they can get off at 3 and they can come in at 3:15 the next day, we're allowing them to schedule on acute, making it convenient for the public to do that and our patients to get in and not have to wait for that. So our idea is to get them scheduled. When we have them on the phone, let's give them a spot. It'll take some work with our front office staff and our nursing staff, but all the doctors were pretty much in agreement that was okay. So we'll keep working on that, but just being more available, more open. And we haven't really had any turnaways, but this will hopefully help get everybody secured and have an appointment when they get off the phone.
So the number of visits for last month was about 10% higher than the same month last year. Why do you think?
It's a really good question. It did feel, these are those months that do feel typically slower, but we have a good nursing staff right now that if they see holes in the schedule, they're calling patients in advance. They're trying to get them in a little bit sooner. We're filling up our wait list patients. We're just communicating a lot more with patients to try to get them in. We're filling those spots with acute care spots if somebody calls.
So I've hogged all the questions. Does anybody else have one?
Craig? No.
Is same-day clinic, walk-in clinic, it's all the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Same place, it's just more of a branding, marketing type?
Essentially, yeah.
But it's working, it sounds like. I mean, we are marketing the same day, or not?
Right. We've actually never in the past marketed our acute care clinic as walk-in. Mm-hmm. I think in the future we have plans to do that, but it's never been marketed as a walk-in. But if somebody does walk in and they need to be seen, we find a spot for them in that moment. So
time management challenge.
Yes, yeah. Scheduling challenges with a walk-in availability for sure.
Well, next on my list is acute care. Under the direction of the esteemed Nurse Mary Litzel.
I don't really have anything to add. We did do the job fair today and talked to a few LPNs, which in the past we hadn't really hired a lot of LPNs on the med-surg floor. They're great nurses and I'm happy to have them, and the majority of them will be pursuing their RN anyway, so I hope it all comes. I hope they're great staff. Josh Keegan, who is still semi a nurse here, but is actually a first year instructor, has encouraged them to come over here and is really a great advocate for us. Excuse me, he's really liking teaching over there, and he has some great students. So hopefully we'll get some of those LPNs that are going on. I did hire a new grad that will graduate in May. He lives in Sheridan, but is planning on moving over here, and he'll start May 31st. So I'm excited about that also.
Is it fair to say an LPN is somewhere in between the training level of a CNA and an RN, but closer to an RN?
Closer to an RN, and if they can, and it's hard to get, I'm honestly going to look into it, but they can get an IV certification, and then they really can do a lot of what the RN does. They can't do admits and discharges. They can't do the initial assessment of an admit, and they can't do a discharge. Can't really explain to you why they can't do that. They can do other assessments and take care of patients just like the RN can, except for those things. So they're a great help, and we're happy to have them. So.
And we're still able to staff the hospital with employees and not hire travelers.
Keeping my fingers crossed. I keep saying there's light at the end of the tunnel, and for about 2 weeks I thought it was a train, but I'm pretty sure it's really the daylight. And so I think we're getting there. I mean, everybody has been so good at picking up extra shifts, and we are all still working well together. When I had to tell them it might be a little bit before we move into the new facility, I thought we were going to see some tear shed, but so far we're all right. They're all getting excited. They're trying to figure out how to stock it all over there and do that, so they're excited about that part of it. Yeah, they're still doing well. I don't hear a lot of complaining.
Well, any questions for Mary?
I'm curious about job fair. You say you work the job fair today. So is that like Sheridan College type thing?
We went to the Sheridan College job fair,
so
which was
booth?
We had a booth. It was Brenda, Miranda, Dale, and myself. And we were, we told them we had any job from the ground on up that they wanted. It was a very interesting job fair. There were health care, the police were there, highway patrol, the border patrol was there. It was very interesting. And it was a very eclectic group of people, from high school kids to retirees and a little bit of in between. We were hoping it would have been more college students. But we saw a few of the nursing students come through and talk to us. It was great that they had it. I didn't know anything. Dale knew about it, but I didn't see it advertised anywhere. Dr. Rice said she heard
a shout out on the radio. Yeah, we got
a
shout out on the radio today. But they said Sheridan Hospital was here, and so was Johnson County Healthcare from Buffalo. Good job.
You listen to the radio?
I do.
Thanks, Mary. Well, Brenda, what can you tell us about Amy Holt Care Center?
Well, as you know, we've struggled for a long time with CNA staffing. We've really never had a big challenge with nursing staffing, but that's changing. I'm losing four RNs this summer. One's retiring, one plans on leaving the area. Two are having babies, one plans to stay home with her baby, and one plans to, when she comes back, work in the hospital. And she's just finishing nursing school, and if she was my daughter, I'd say, absolutely, you need to do that. Although I'm secretly hoping that she loves me more. So we've been advertising on Indeed, and I started out advertising for RNs because that's what I would like to fill, and didn't have any interest, so I added LPN, still no interest. And so that's another concern. And then not a lot happening over at the job fair.
Four of how many RNs?
How many RNs do we have total?
Yeah.
We have about 12 nurses total to cover the schedule. Most of the RNs are in the management positions. So the four RNs, there's only one other one.
Challenge.
It's a challenge.
not your first challenge.
No, no, but, you know, as you know, nurses and CNAs, of course, are sought after all over town, so.
Are they getting more nurses through college programs? Like, are their acceptance rates higher now? Do we hear anything with that?
I don't think the acceptance rate is any higher here in college. And they've toyed again with the idea of doing what Casper College does. They do admissions in the spring and in the fall, mm-hmm. so it does double that mm-hmm. group. I don't think it decreases. I think there's 36, and I think I asked Josh about how many. I mean, I think most of them are passing, which is awesome. I mean, they always lose a few to that. Mm-hmm. I would hope that they will, but you know what? They don't have as many admission applications as they used to. I mean, it used to be like a lot of jobs. You were turning more people away mm-hmm. than you hated to do.
Well, thank you, Brenda. Lori, did you have anything to add to your report?
Only that we're hoping that they're going to have the phones up and going next week. They're going to be testing on Monday, and if that goes well, then they have to hook up all the phones before they can unhook our old phones and they'll be ready to go. So hopefully next week we'll be with the new phones, and then everybody will be miserable because nobody will know how to use them better. I hope it's not too long, but we've already sent out information on how to use them and everything, but it's always going to be a challenge.
I noticed about 5 links to go to learn how to use the new phone.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a lot of drunk calls. I didn't think it could be that hard.
You wouldn't think it would be that hard. Russ and I, neither one of us could figure out how to page, so we're hoping it'll be easier when we actually have a phone in place. And, you know, sure. It's hard to just look at something and you don't have anything to work with.
Well, if you're not happy with the new phone, can you still pick up the old phone?
No, it's not going to work that way. Voice over IP, it's not going to work that way. You might be able to send it to your phone, your cell phone, though, so maybe you could just use your cell phone if you have to.
Sure, there'll be more of that. Any other questions for Lori? All right, thank you. Well, next on the agenda is a report from our CEO, who's happy about some money.
Yeah. Start off with the good news, I guess. So, I sent an email out, but we did officially, finally. Seems like we've been talking about this grant for a year now. And finally got approval. So I did head down to Cheyenne just to be available and just to have questions. And right off the get-go, both of our grants got grouped with about 3 or 4 others, and they voted them all. Both of them through kind of in a conglomerate. So really nice to not, I didn't have to get up and defend. I thought for a second somebody was like, why are we doing 2 for Johnson County? And so I was glad I was there in case I needed to say something, but it was nice to sit in the audience, and then I got an early trip home. So so I think that'll go a long ways, you know, as far as helping us, you know, finalize the completion project, maybe help us borrow less funds. So, but regardless, with the cost report, this goes through as a grant fund, so we really get the benefit of Medicare's reimbursement on top of this. So it really translates, you know, cash wise to us larger than, you know, the 1.6. You know, it's hard to, you know, even if you take that like 70% additional, you know, the reality is we'll get cash back on the amount of money they gave from a depreciation standpoint. So real dollars to the organization, it's going to be a pretty substantial deal for us. The HVAC unit, we talked about that last month, catching on fire. I don't have a lot of great updates on that. We've been talking about it on a weekly basis. The manufacturers not been a great communicator back, but there has been rumor going around through the subs and stuff that it could potentially be 16 weeks. That was like 2 weeks ago, so 14 weeks from now. It's obviously not great news for something that we were hoping like a couple months ago we would be in, that we're still going to be a ways out. So I'll keep you guys in the loop as we know more. And then the manufacturer's going to come up and inspect everything at that point, too, once everything is restored and been repaired. But it's a, kind of an ongoing issue. Another thing that kind of popped up that I've been really trying to keep a close watch on after the last board meeting is there's some issues with the sinks that were installed in the inpatient room not meeting ADA requirements. So we've been spending a lot of time. I met with the contractor on Monday. I met with the architect this morning. And there's been some talk about getting one room up to speed, and I'm like, no, and that might be code, but we built 10 new inpatient rooms. They all need to be ADA compliant. So it's been a kind of a long process from that standpoint. We'll get a solution resolved. So
who covers those costs? Is it something that we have to eat, or is it something that the architects miss?
It'll depend on who takes responsibility, and neither one of them are wanting to. I appreciate neither of them are really pointing fingers at each other when conversations with me, but so I'm not exactly sure who, but we shouldn't have to eat the cost on them. So. But I was pushing them this week. I'm like, we have this HVAC issue. I don't want to not be able to move in because we have a sink issue. So we need to really get a solution figured out so we can get it, corrected and move forward. So, so hopefully we'll have the sinks issue resolved before the HVAC issue. And when that's all done, we can actually start seeing patients. So, InReach Health is finally going to get on site next week to do their first kind of on-site review of our OR. So we have a lot of meetings scheduled from billing to, them walking through the operating room, looking at our equipment and what we actually have. So starting to get the ball rolling on some of that stuff. Seems like it's taking a little bit of time to get them on site, but excited to get the ball rolling. It'll be nice to actually get some feedback back on where we're at from an equipment standpoint. We had some discussion on home health last week. Medicaid changed. I think they went to like an electronic system, and so it was discovered that even though we've been providing services in Sheridan County and Claremont and Story and different places, that we're not actually licensed to be in that county. And so just trying to do some analysis on the cost. We lose money every single time we drive up there. And so I think, with budget, Becky and I have been looking at a bunch of different things that I feel like, we really need to start addressing. If you look at our financials, we're in the black right now. There's grant funds we received this year that we're not going to receive next year. I talked to Amanda about no longer leaving Johnson County, if we're going to be losing money. And a lot of hospitals have got rid of home health services altogether. But I think it's important that we don't lose money to go outside of Johnson County. We're not getting tax support from other counties, to provide that service. And so I think it's, so we're not going to try to get licensed in Sheridan County it's easier to explain to patients that we just don't have a license there, so we can't go provide services there, than to say, well, we'd lose money to come to your house. So
do you know how many patients they were seeing in those?
I think we had
Sheridan County.
We had three or four right now. I think three. So, but it kind of ebbs and flows. There's a point where the travel is there, but there's just not enough people to really guarantee that it's going to be a profit. and it's a lot of travel time, you know, so when you add up the, even, I think for some of the CNA visits, if you had a travel time and we were paying for mileage, we weren't even, like, covering that, let alone the time they were spending there with the patient, so. And then, I've been working with the vet's home on getting those contracts solidified for us to provide therapy and medical services to the new colleges. So I was up there this morning, met with Bruce and Mike. So I think we're getting pretty close to getting those contracts solidified. There's been, just in how they're planning on doing services and how we were maybe envisioning it, a little back and forth on that. But I think we're getting pretty close now to hopefully getting that kind of solidified. So,
do they have patients in the cottages?
No. No. I told Bruce we would probably block schedule in July. In the conversation today, it didn't seem like June was really a realistic time period for them. There's potential for July, but we're going to just kind of stay in touch over the next few months to see when that's a reality for them. It sounds like there's a lot of people that are interested in jobs from different places. You brought up some nurses from, I think, Casper and Sheridan that are interested in coming over. But there's a compensation issue and housing issue and all these different things that's making it difficult to actually, you know, land the staff to open the college up. So I think, you know, you don't just hire somebody at a snap of a finger, so we'll just stay in touch with them and make sure that we're kind of getting everything solidified and forward there. So. And then I found out that we don't actually have a lease agreement with KC for the clinic space, and so we're working on getting a lease put in place for the clinic space that we're renting. So.
Can we use legal counsel, like on the lease agreement or on this contract with the vet's home? Is it the vet home's contract, or is it our contract, or do we?
So it's their contract, and then I reviewed contracts in Alliance for the 3 years I was there. Every contract came across my desk, so a lot of that stuff I've gotten fairly comfortable with over the years. But if I'm not, you know, like we just talked in the foundation, we redid the educational agreement, and I kicked that to legal counsel for help there. There's different elements like that where I've, you know, got consulting or consulted on if it. So. But normally we're not drafting those outright, so it's a little bit easier to kind of make tweaks and changes to some things. And there's a lot of stuff that's pretty status quo in healthcare contracts that you just make sure it's there, and it's pretty good.
So we're currently providing outpatient service in KC 2 days a week.
Yep.
And are we renting that building from?
Yep, we're renting that
town
space.
Of KC.
Mm-hmm.
On a handshake, I guess.
Yes. Yes.
It doesn't even take that money.
They sent an invoice, we've paid for it, so it's
been working. The lease agreement's a formality. Nothing else would change then regarding what's provided.
And Chelsea stays pretty busy down there, doesn't she?
She has a strong following.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think Mitch is also planning to do some KC clinic.
He starts every Thursday and May.
Okay. I think that will be a benefit. Any further questions for Luke? Covered a lot of ground there. Well, we do have approval of credentialing next on the agenda, and the medical staff appointment for Zachary Carlson. The family physician is completing a sports medicine fellowship, and he'll be starting in September. Is that
October.
About right.
October.
And we've spent some time with him. He's done some rotations here, and will be a strong addition. He's got a very outgoing personality, and he's enthusiastic. So we're looking forward to that. I think we've got a strong candidate there, and he's already signed an agreement, so his credentials have been reviewed by our chief of staff and our credentialing people, and he hasn't been practicing long enough to get in trouble yet, so I think that's fairly straightforward. And then we have a large cadre of telemedicine individuals who are off-site doing after-hours reading for us, and their staff must number in the hundreds.
These are new, and those are still in process, so you're not approving anything on those. That is for the telestroke. That they are all still processing, so I will be waiting on those, and you'll have those probably for next meeting.
So this is a bit of a change from what we have been doing, where we have a system with Wyoming Medical Center consulting their staff neurologists and transferring patients for intervention. And Wyoming Medical Center does not have an on-site neurologist as of next month, I believe. So
next
they,
week.
Next week.
Yeah. May 1st.
They have a contract with an organization called Blue Sky Neurology, and it's telemedicine for assessment and diagnosis of primarily emergency patients who are primarily stroke victims, and they're doing the same kind of work that Dr. Wheeler and Dr. Masada were doing for us, except they're not in Casper, they're elsewhere, and those patients are being treated in a similar manner. If they have a stroke that can be operated on, or the clot is removed from the artery in the brain that's blocked, the radiologists are doing those interventions, and those are the same surgeons, if you will, but the decision making from a neurologist standpoint is now through this. So I think there's about 12 of them on the list.
That's going to be a little bit of a slow process, but we're getting there.
Well, hopefully in a week they'll be ready to roll.
So there's the credentialing piece with this Blue Sky is kind of an nightmare, because we were supposed to be able to accept delegated credentialing through Banner Health, and Banner Health is, I mean, I talked to their CEO and I was down for the grant that Friday, and he told me Banner Health won't accept the responsibility of doing delegated credentialing, even though that was the plan for like weeks. And so at that time we had to shift to actually doing all the credentialing ourselves. So we've made a lot of progress in 2 weeks, but credentialing is not a 2 week process, so especially for 12 providers. So
what I'll end up doing is I'm going to keep an eye on them, and as soon as I get one or two of them, even with completed files, I'll get temporary privileges issued for them, because Luke can sign off on those. As long as I have the completed file, we can do that, so then they would be able to go ahead and help us, and then it would be official privileging at the next board meeting. So that's what I'm working on right now. I just have to get at least one or two of them out for temporary privileges as well. So I have to go through basically the full process even to get them temporary privileges, but I can't do that in 2 weeks, which is exactly what they gave us to do that when they told us we couldn't use delegated.
Is this why Wyoming Medical Center showed up here? Is it more like a sales type call on their behalf? Because
So the whole stroke program, I think there was some state funding dollars that went to helping them get it started. So the the current contract that we have with Mount Medical Center covers the cost of this Blue Sky. And so there's not, we're actually not signing a contract with Blue Sky. It's all running through Wyoming Medical Center. So there's no real difference there. It is, I mean, I think there's a couple of years left in that funding they receive from the state, so there's potential in the future that there might be some costs associated with us running the program. But we're a ways out from that. I don't have any information on what that potentially would cost or could look like at this point.
At that point in time, would you look at other facilities?
So we did. We did call up to Billings to see if what they had available, and neither Billings Clinic or St. V's has a telestroke program. So
the contract that we have with Wyoming Medical Center, I'm kind of getting off track here, but so you get into a transport situation, emergency situation. Our contract says we have to look at them first or something. We have to.
No, it's just so we have. Sometime we could maybe bring the cart in to show you so you guys can see it. But it's like a telehealth cart, so it actually has the ability, you know, to communicate back and forth with the provider. You would know better than I do, Dr. Schuler, exactly how that functionality works. But it's to help the provider on the other side of the screen actually get more up-to-date patient information and, you know, helping with that assessment. So,
do we use it often?
Well, it's been routine for acute stroke patients who are candidates, that is, presenting early enough in the course of the illness to be treated with either medication to dissolve a clot or rapid transport to the radiologist who does a thrombectomy. If we don't have access to Blue Sky, we really don't have any reason to call Wyoming Medical Center. Because the standard is to have a neurologist make a determination about that treatment. Now, prior to this device, this camera sound telemedicine machine, it was the ER physician describing the patient condition over the phone and the neurologist making a determination based on that and the CT images that are transmitted, which is what we're going to be doing in the meantime with Billings. And the biggest problem there is it's another 60 miles distance when minutes count. So that's discouraging that Banner doesn't value the referrals enough to help us with credentialing. It's also important that all the ER providers know that service is not available yet.
We talked about it in med staff, so they are aware.
So besides the time costs of Becky doing this, are there any other costs associated with all the credentialing?
Yeah, there's some costs associated with each provider that we credential. So.
Yeah, because I'm using the outside company now to do all my initial appointments. So there is cost associated.
We don't have to do the payer enrollment, so
right.
It's just the...
Just the privileging.
Just the privileging.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as much as the full gamut of provider enrollment.
Does it affect our... malpractice insurance with all these credentialing that we're doing? No,
because this falls on them.
On them, so even though they're in access in the hospital.
Does it help if we make a motion to approve these folks contingent upon, you know, proper credentialing?
I don't even have anything that we could approve right now because I don't have any pieces of information on them because it's all being submitted. So what happens is I set it up and request a file be started, and then the company actually pushes it out to the providers, and they have to fill out the application online, and it all goes to HSC. Once that file is completed, HSC sends it to me. So I don't have any of that stuff until I get that completed file. But as soon as I get that, then I can turn it around, make sure everything looks okay, have it signed off, and then Luke can do those temporary privileges.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't need your approval now in order to issue temporary privileges.
No, it will just be the final approval at the next board meeting that you guys would be doing, but they would already have those temporary privileges.
So we'll want a motion for approval of appointment for Dr. Carlson.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
That passes. It's time for our financial performance report.
Should be fairly easy again tonight. Gross patient revenue for March was at $2.8 million. Deductions came in under budget, $926,000. Our expenses were just slightly over budget at the $2.3 million. A lot of that is rolled up into our traveler costs, which it's been like that for the last couple months. Non-operating revenue is way up. I did finish the final reporting on the last parts of our CARES Act funding, so that was recognized. I have $598,000 that I recognized there, so that's why that number is higher. So we did finish with a net gain of $374,000 for the month. Year to date, gross patient revenue is still under budget. We're at $1.4 million under where we anticipated. Expenses actually are staying under budget, even the increase that we've seen. Year to date, we are at $381,000 gain. Stats. We do have a little bit more red again this month, but overall everything looks pretty consistent with where we've been. I don't really have any concerns or anything specific on these, unless you guys have questions.
Is there any reason why it looks like ER is down quite a bit?
I think ER is down because of urgent care.
Okay.
Just you know, curious. Open later.
Yeah, because that's a freaking
and they're open on
number.
Weekends.
Yeah, they are. You're right. Okay.
Looking at this one, AR hospital was up a little bit for March and clinic was down a little bit. Those numbers keep going back and forth. February, our days cash on hand was at 77 and March we went back to 83. And then these are cash balances as of what was that, Monday? I was afraid I wasn't going to have time to pull it together today, so I don't think they've changed much today. I did briefly look at it, but it's been pretty consistent. And then the income statement, I really didn't have anything that stands out here either that we haven't already been talking about. Professional fees is the one line here that's way off. That's where the travelers are rolling into, and PT and OT. I don't have a whole lot. Do you guys have questions on it?
Well, my only question you addressed, I noticed that grant, and you just mentioned that it wasn't a new thing that's related to the CARES Act,
mm-hmm.
and we're doing some final accounting on,
mm-hmm.
which is huge at this point. I mean, that was a big deal. Is there any more of that? I mean, is that the last
part? No, I'm done with it.
That's right.
Yeah, that was the last part of it. So all of that has been recognized at this point.
So this grant that we got approved, which, by the way, nice job on that. I mean, that's huge for us. Is it 1.16 or 1.8? I can't remember. But how does that work? I mean, like, Are they just going to send us a check, or does that, do we have to send invoices on the project?
So, so we'll probably have to send invoices on the project. The, and I don't remember the exact breakdown. It's like a 55-45 split or something like that. It's pretty close cost-wise, the inpatient versus the clinic. The inpatient is probably at the point where we could get all of that off the get-go. As soon as we kind of get all the documents and stuff signed, we should be able to submit invoices and really get, you know, over $800,000 coming before the clinic's at now. So I don't know how fast we'll have a turnaround from that, but hopefully in the next month or two we'll be able to see some of those dollars
So roughly of a $16 million total construction budget, we've paid how much of that now?
10. I just looked at that number. We've got 10 into it right now.
And it's all been out of our pockets.
No, I have done, I've done two loan draws at this point. We did just get, we will be getting another payout probably next week. It just came through today. So not quite, but I mean, majority of it is out of our pocket.
Do we have to spend on any more of our assets for our days on hand? Or can we just start using the loan? Wasn't there something we had to spend down to?
Yeah,
some pressure?
What is our day schedule? What's our day schedule?
That was the 83.
So we're still okay under that?
Yeah, we're because okay. What were we saying, 95? It's where we wanted.
Yeah, I think 85 is probably the safe point of, like, I mean, I'd rather be ensure that we're good versus trying to stay on the high side of it, and then all of a sudden they're like, no,
you
have too much.
You
know what I mean? So, you know, being at 80, 85 is I think, where we probably want to end, because that getting that interest cost reimbursed is huge for us. You know? So that's a lot of additional money. So spending down like a couple hundred thousand dollars is, means nothing, you know, in that grand scheme of things, making sure we get that money back. So.
Well, like you said earlier, this grant actually counts for reimbursement in the cost study, which is huge. I mean, so there might be an incentive there, like after you meet with InReach and the OR stuff. I mean, there might be some incentive to do some things because it's potentially pays for itself, you know, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, I think the game plan even going in with, you know, and was if we were going to kick in 7, the foundation kicked in 3, it was really like the whole project was kind of a cost neutral thing for us with what Medicare was going to kick back in on the cost report, and that would cover those debt service payments. So getting the grant fund, the hospital kicking in additional funds is huge. I mean, that's not even, you know, looking at what the foundation was going to do. So the more cash we're able to put in, the more we'll, you know, get that back. It's easier to cash flow. There's a lot of areas, you know, as we're pulling capital budget and stuff together that really needs, you know, some money thrown into equipment in our, through our facilities.
Have we started to realize any of that cost?
We got to put
reimbursement.
We got to put the asset into service.
Right. So it has it. Okay.
Yeah.
So we ought to start noticing. I mean, once we do put the stuff in service, will it be noticeable? I mean,
it'll be noticeable in two ways on the income statement, especially. So we'll see an increase in depreciation expense and interest expense. So we'll see expenses will definitely go up. And I think this is where we'll probably need to start talking about some items like EBITDA, because depreciation is not a cash expense. And so healthcare kind of across the board, because it's so expensive to build healthcare infrastructure, the equipment's so expensive, a lot of healthcare organizations really look at EBITDA, because that really is looking at what your cash operations is doing. Like, are you bringing in more money than it costs to operate your facility? And so we'll be having more conversations and looking at that EBITDA number to make sure that we're not getting out of whack, you know, from an operational standpoint as that cash flow piece coming in. So we'll see an increase there, but then we should see an offset in the contractuals, because that's where Medicare picks that up, and so we should see contractuals go down relatively to help get, you know, improve that net bottom line. So,
otherwise known as deductions.
Yep.
I can actually start putting that EBITDA number on here as well. I can throw it on there with days cash on hand, because that's something that's in my cost report model as well. So I can just start throwing it on there. Well, first, does anybody have any other questions on this stuff?
Roughly, what will it cost us for a year in added expense through professional fees for the travelers that we're hiring at the care center?
So
$1,800,000
through March, we're about $500,000.
Yes.
So it's going to be in the $700,000 range by the end of fiscal year.
Yeah, it's got potential to do that, and depending on what we have to do from an RN standpoint as well. But.
So in addition to that expense, we're losing revenue having 11 empty rooms over there. So that's a major negative cash flow situation.
Yeah, I was running some numbers this week, and we have potential to lose around $3 million in the first few months.
Well, on that happy note, any other discussion about financial performance?
I was actually going to let you know that Mark Lyons from Casey Peterson was here for the last day and a half. We've been doing some work on the AR cleanup that we had him look at for audit purposes. So the business office and I have been working with him to figure out processes and start working on how we're cleaning that up, what we're changing, what we're doing with the bad debt and collections, and we'll be working on that for the next. We have an end date of March 3rd or May 31st to have stuff cleaned up, ready to roll with new processes, as long as everything goes like we want it to with CPSI. Business office is really excited about what we're doing, so this will be fantastic as soon as we can get it done. Now I'm done.
All right. Well, let's restore the lights, and the final item is an executive session.
I have something. Executive session.
I'll make a motion to go into the
session.